This morning, our scripture will come from the Gospel according to Matthew. And we will be reading from the New International Version at chapter 7 and beginning at verse 15. And we will read through to verse 29. So I invite you to, if you have your Bibles, to read along. If you are reading from the screen, to follow the text there. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. I'd like for us for just a few moments this morning to consider the theme for our text this morning, and that is simply rock solid faith. A rock solid faith. If we're honest with ourselves, our faith, our ability to place our unwavering trust in God moves from time to time. Sometimes it's the circumstances and challenges that life throws at us that rocks our world. Sometimes we have what is known as a crisis of faith. Something happens where what we believe and trusted in the past has now run headlong into a new understanding that we can't yet make sense of. And we find ourselves lost and uncertain of where our faith is. Sometimes we find that the right thing we believe in and know to do doesn't always bear the fruit of our belief. And we find ourselves searching for that amazing grace that has been our lifeline. All of these circumstances seem to impact our faith in ways that make our faith appear to be shaky. And what God wants for us is a faith that is not determined by life circumstances or past belief systems or even our frequent need for grace. The faith that God wants us to have is one in which what we believe and what we do gives evidence of our relationship with the God of love and mercy and truth. God wants to see some fruit, because that's a faith that is rock solid. Now, we all know people who move in and out of faith. One moment they're active and alive, working in the life of the church and the world, all in the name of Jesus. And the next moment they've changed their mind about the church and God because some crisis in their life has left them questioning their faith. And if we search hard enough, we can also find people who from their heart do some very loving things and may not be a part of church life. And yet we also know some people whose actions initiate from their minds, doing some very loving things, but always with an ulterior motive to see what they might get from their efforts. Clearly, there's a difference between the two. Both those whose faith seems to be destroyed by some life event and those who hang tough in the midst of life's crises, in the middle of life's challenges, and those who from their heart do gracious and kind deeds, and those whose motives for kindness are selfish and self-serving. Both models help us to understand people who are living on the shifting sands of faith, whose houses are destroyed when life challenges them, and those who even in the midst of life's storms seem to be able to keep on loving and keep on giving and keep on bearing the fruit of God's grace in their lives. There's in essence where our text takes us today. It's at a time in the history of our faith where people were primarily dependent upon hearing God's word from other people. It was a mouth-to-mouth communication. Word of mouth was how people heard and understood God's word. People's ability to read the Bible, even to have their own copy, was unheard of. And so they depended on the scribes and the Pharisees, the contemporary sages of their day, to lead them into spiritual truth. And as is always the case, there are always people whose lives don't give evidence of the alleged truth they are telling. They live one way while their lives give indication that they're not even buying what they're selling. Now, Jesus suggests that there are plenty of people in the world who will tell you they know God and will point to all of the things they do in the name of Jesus as evidence that they know who Jesus is. But if you listen to the text, you will find out that it's not important whether or not you know Jesus. The question is, does Jesus know you? Jesus says it's not whether we know him that is the measure of our salvation, but whether or not he knows us. And there seems to be some connection between what we believe and what we do from our hearts that confirms that relationship. But as importantly as Jesus knowing us seals the relationship, there is a connection to being wise in our decision, making process when it comes to being obedient to Jesus's warning to watch for the fruit as evidence of that relationship. There's some truth to the old adage that the fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree. So we should be careful about who we learn from when it comes to hearing and discerning God's word. You see, friends, it's not just about what people tell us about God. It's about what is being produced in their lives. In an age when illiteracy was at a high level and the reading of the wording of God, the word of God was limited to scribes and Pharisees and other learned people, the general population had to rely on those who could read and understand to tell us what thus saith the Lord. In our culture today, everyone has access to the written word. And even though biblical illiteracy is still at an all-time high, the standard of fruit bearing is still a legitimate way to determine if someone's faith is rock solid. The desire to have a rock solid faith invites us to look beyond what people are telling us to see if there is any fruit falling from their tree. A rock solid faith gives evidence that a good tree can't produce bad fruit, that there is evidence by their life that their faith and their works are in concert with one another. And that has not always been the case. You see, brothers and sisters, we have from time to time been flim-flammed and bamboozled and conned by those whose tree didn't represent the fruit that was falling from it. There's a guy some time ago, his name was Thomas Linacre, and he was the founder of the Royal College of Physicians, and he was a friend of the great Renaissance thinkers, Erasmus and Sir Thomas More, who has written profoundly about his faith. And he was also the king's physician to Henry VII and Henry VIII of England. Late in his life, he actually took his life to the Catholic Church and decided that he was going to seek Catholic orders, and he was given a copy of the Gospels to read for the very first time. The Bible, of course, was still in the reserve of clergy and not in the hands of ordinary people. And Linacre had lived through the darkest of the church's dark hours. This was a time when the papacy of Alexander VI, the Borgia Pope, was bribery, corruption, incest, murder, and it had plumbed new depths into the annals of Christian shame. And reading the Gospels for the first time himself, Linacre was amazed and he was troubled. And this is what he said. He said, either these are not the Gospels, or we are not Christians. The fruit that fell from Pope Alexander VI was indicative of the tree he represented. It was rotten and worm infested. It was fruit that didn't resemble the fruit of love characterized by the word of God or the love of Christ. And that's why Jesus advises us to be wary, to be cautious, to make sure that we take care when we're watching and listening and hearing what other people are telling us. It's because even in a culture in which everyone has access to God's word, we can still be disillusioned by those whose fruit appears to be good, but in reality is counterfeit. Anything that is extremely valuable can be counterfeited. It used to be the case that people who engaged in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ were among the most honored and respected people in the world. The very nature of being called by God to serve people of faith was special. But it's one thing to answer the call honorably and another thing to use the faith as an opportunity to scam people. In Chicago today, there's a pimp who spent an entire hour on a nationally televised television show telling the host how Jesus had made a change in his life. But today he's still pimping, still selling women and making money off of women. And his fruit, as sincere as it may have appeared then, was counterfeit. And it still is. I think his name is Don Juan or something like that. You see, friends, there is nothing more valuable than the image of Christ. But those who fall from the tree of Christ will bear the fruit of that tree. They'll bear the fruit of the tree that Christ represents and not the fruit of evil, more brokenness and separation from God. You see, brothers and sisters, in the end, it's not whether or not we know God that is evidence of a rock solid faith. It's whether or not Jesus knows us and whether or not we've allowed God's wisdom, that of hearing God's word and doing it, is leading us and our relationship with Christ. Or are we following some other standard of faith? That's the qualifier. In a world where a lot of people know Jesus, there seems to be a disconnection between believing and doing. Politicians know Jesus, but when their policies on the surface appear noble, but underneath are simply self-serving, then on the surface it looks good, but the reality tells a different story. There are people filling pulpits every Sunday who preach and teach the word of God, but whose personal desire for private jets and multi-million dollar homes stands in stark contrast to the gospel of humility that Jesus Christ taught. There are others who profess their faith in the living Christ, but when it comes time to make a decision to submit to the authority of Christ in their lives, they choose the little gods of their preference over the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so it is that there are a lot of people standing on the shaky ground of faith where their trust in God is insecure and the fruit represented by their work doesn't look anything like the tree from which they claim they've come from. But a rock solid faith gives evidence of our leaning on God's wisdom to guide our lives. A rock solid faith gives evidence that we haven't fallen far from the tree of Christ from which we've been produced by faith. A rock solid faith shows signs that we're more likely to be faithful to God's word, which instructs us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path smooth. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. You see, brothers and sisters, it is in leaning on the wisdom of God that our faith becomes rock solid. It's in relying on God's truth that we can withstand the storms of life. Don't misunderstand me, brothers and sisters. There's nothing in God's word that says the storms won't come. Nothing says that the rains of life won't come in to challenge our faith. There's nothing to say that the floods of life won't come in to overwhelm our house of faith. There's nothing to say that stormy winds of life won't blow, making our house of faith creak and moan. But our house of faith will still be intact during the storm. Our house of faith will still be standing after the storm, and it will be standing because of our rock solid faith, a faith that trusts in the wisdom of God to lead us and the works of Christ to identify us. That's how they'll know we are Christians. They'll know we are Christians by our love, and Christ will know our rock solid, unwavering faith. And that's the word of God today for the people of God today.